Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Form Zen Fighting Champion John Chang, and you're listening to the AMAA Legend and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, protecting the history, one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the AMAA Masters Radio Blog. Oh, wow. So glad to be in your home tonight. My name is Professor Gary Lee, and we've been doing this show for almost 2 years now. And we talk about the sport karate history. We have legends and interviews and news and all kinds of cool things. So if this is your first night tonight, we want to welcome you. And I really appreciate you letting us come into your home. If you don't know much about what I do, I run the Sport Karate Museum Archives, and it's a history of the sport karate, which was founded, I would say, 1946, when Robert Trias first opened up the first sport karate school and formed the USKA. And we covered it all the way up to the years, to 2018. But to be honest with you, I've been working on this for 20 years, and I'm just now at the bottom of the 1980s. As far as honoring people. I know, it's taken a long time, but goodness gracious, with this radio show and my producer, Hanchi Jesse Bowen, and the amazing people he has behind him, I get to get the word out, and I get to talk about the pioneers and legends and the masters of the martial arts. I have a very special guest tonight, and I'm going to be bringing him on here in a few minutes. He's a old friend, a tournament karate competitor, and someone that I'm going to enjoy talking to and interviewing. Before I bring him on, though, I'd like to, make a shout out to people who loved Roger Green. They're going to have a gathering, a life celebration, September the 29th, for Roger. And to be in contact, just go to his Facebook page. And all the information will be there. It's free. So just if you love Mr. Green, if you knew who Mr. Green was, and you're in the area, please give him a call. And all the information is actually on his Facebook page. So that is happening September the 29th. I have a really important segment now. It used to be fun, but now I think it's important. And we've done it for 4 weeks, and I'm looking forward to tonight, too. It's called Kicking It with the Wolverine, and it's views and various opinions of what goes on in sport karate. And tonight we have a very interesting subject, and we should have another flavor tonight if someone calls in that's very special to me. Well, going right into the show tonight, and again, thank you for being here. I get to interview some amazing people. And this gentleman is just one of those amazing guys. I've got to say to you right off the bat that I kind of owe him a lot. He actually put me on a cover of one of the first Masters Hall of Fame magazines. And if I'm not mistaken, I might have been on one of the first covers. I'm not sure what we're sure or asking. We're talking about movie director, actor, stuntman, amazing point fighter from the heyday, Mr. Robert Farnham. Robert, are you there, sir?
I am. How you doing, sir?
Well, I am so excited to talk to you, especially with the exciting news we have tonight for listeners who don't know who you are and also are going to get to know who you are. You have a very special premiere or something that happened last night. Let's go right into that before we go a little bit about your history. What happened last night that was just really, really exciting for you?
Well, we got international distribution of our movie, Jackson Bolt, starring myself and the legendary Fred Williamson.
That's exciting. He was nicknamed the Hammer, correct? The Hammer.
That's right.
And
the Hammer.
Was he a football player or was he a boxer? I know he was one or the other.
He played football. He played with the Oakland Raiders. Yeah, and he was in Super Bowl I, as I recall.
Wow. Wow. So what was it like working with him?
And he is a riot. He is a riot. He's very professional, very savvy, very sage. He knows his business. He knows his stuff. I love him.
Now, you were the lead actor also, correct?
Yes, yes, yes.
Lead actor, and you also were part of the production also. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I was a co-executive producer. I was a stunt coordinator, the fight choreographer, and the lead actor. I wore a lot of hats on certain days. Actually got behind the camera on a couple of occasions. So it was hectic. It was hectic. We shot that movie in 12 days.
I can imagine. How long did you take to shoot the movie? How many days, you said?
12 days, 12 shoot days.
Oh, that's okay. That's hard work. Now, let me ask you a question. Yeah. What's it about? What's the story about? What's the plot? And don't tell me the ending, but tell me what's it about.
It's basically about Jackson Bolt is a detective who's distraught, emotionally distraught, because he finds out his wife is sleeping with his partner. And his partner subsequently gets killed, and everybody points the finger at Jackson Bolt. So he's got to clear his name, try to save his marriage, and keep his appointments with his psychiatrist.
Okay. Well, you know, tell me that the fact that it's going to be not just it's going to be on DVD, and it's also going to be on Netflix, maybe, or one of the networks?
Well, right now we don't have a deal with Netflix, but right now it's available on Amazon, and they're staggering the release. So I think in a few weeks it'll be at Target, Best Buy, Walmart, and other retail outlets.
How exciting, Robert, is that to have a movie that you actually start in and it's coming out, it's out, or the public can actually see it? I mean, just on a personal basis, how exciting is that, bro?
Well, what's exciting is all the hard work that everybody put in. And, you know, I got to co-star with one of the people I grew up idolizing. You know, that's exciting.
Sure.
That's the ultimate.
Yeah. How long is it?
The movie's an hour and 22 minutes. Hour and 22 minutes. So, hour and 22 minutes of action. Lots of action.
And you choreographed the whole movie, huh, bro?
Your
first movie. You've done quite a few movies. Can you tell me about some of those other movies you've done?
Yeah, I did my first big movie, actually, lead, was I did this mini feature called Buster Jones, where I'm a over-the-hill minor league basketball player trying to make it to the pros. I'm a martial artist and found out that my cousin got killed by some terrorists who were trying to blow up the 1984 Olympics. So that's all over YouTube. We've been approached by several companies to make that into a full-length feature, but just the deal hasn't been right. So that's a big one. And Toxin, and I've done a movie with in Under Siege with Steven Seagal. I was in Warship Warrior
with
Matthias Hughes and Bridget
Siege?
Hilton. I was involved in it, but not involved as production. You know, I was also in The Insider with Al Pacino and Russell Crowe. That was great. Yeah,
cool.
That was fun.
Well, let's go back a few years. Let's go back when you used to hit people in the head and kick people in the head. let's go back a little bit. Let's hit my listeners back a little bit. And normally I start at the beginning, but this time with you, I went from what you're doing now, and I want to go back a little bit. Who was your first instructor, and what year did you make black belt?
My first real instructor was my father, but my first formal martial arts instructor is this gentleman, Dr. Alonzo Jones. So I received my black belt in 86, I believe it was. I believe it was 1986, 86 or 87, around here.
Let's talk about your dad. Is he still here? Is he still alive?
Yes, he's still here. He's still alive.
Tell me about what he did. What style was he, and you learned from him. What did you learn?
I learned Tai Chi and I learned Judo. So my dad learned under this gentleman. I can't recall his name. I can't recall his name to save my life. But I got beat up by a girl in grammar school. I think I was in the fifth grade.
Didn't we all get beat up by a girl one time in our lives? We still do sometimes.
Hey,
absolutely.
Was it the same girl?
It might have been. As long as you didn't say she was Cobra Kai, I don't care. That's fine.
yeah. But after I got
you made me laugh early in this interview. I like to laugh a lot now that I got older.
yeah, but
I'm doing the Power of Women this year. I'm honoring all the women in them. Yeah, you've heard about that, I guess, right? Yeah,
I heard about it. Yes,
I'm gonna talk about that a bit later. But let's go back to you. Besides you getting beat up by a girl, now you learned from you said another karate guy. Tell me about him and what style was that?
So Alonzo Jones studied a style that he inherited from his grandfather. Called it's an offshoot of Kempo. It's called Kambatai. So it's Kempo Kambatai. That has a long history in northern Africa. It was brought over to Mississippi through what they call the Exodus or the Zamita Masfiant. Jones County is where his grandfather's from. It was amazing to me. I went and visited Jones County and talked to the people there, and they spoke about Alonzo's grandfather. They spoke about Abraham Lincoln. I mean, and then I saw the movie, The Free State of Jones. I was like, wow. So that was interesting to learn the history behind all of that. How it's deeply embedded in secret societies, if you would, in Mississippi. It's incredible.
Wow, that is incredible.
When
did you start fighting tournament karate? Karate.
When I was a white belt, so 83, okay. 84, somewhere around there. And I was fortunate enough to go undefeated until as a brown belt. I lost my very first match as a brown belt.
So you fought as a white belt all the way through brown, and you never lost a point match. That's pretty cool.
Never lost not a match. Matter of fact, I didn't get more than, I can tell you, I didn't get more than 3 points scored on me.
Okay. So you were a gifted underbelt. Okay.
I was gifted.
You're a gifted underbelt.
What
happened when you made black? What weight were you when you made black?
I was lightweight. So I was a little skinny guy.
Lightweight.
And,
what year were you start fighting black belt?
That was right after actually a week before I got my black belt. I fought black belt.
Okay, try to put fighters with what year.
It's got to be 86, 87, somewhere around there.
Okay. Okay. 86. Now, did you fight NBL and NASCAR, or did you fight?
I fought all of that. I fought NASCAR, I fought NBL, SKI. Then they had the league down in the south. What was it called? The Louisiana Sport Karate Circuit League. Been to the Super Grands about two or three times. Just enjoying, man. Just enjoying life. As a matter of fact, I got to tell you this story. I went to the Liberty Classic and forgot. I missed my division. I missed the brown belt division. Trying to find a parking space. So I fought black belt division. Who's the second person I fight at the Liberty Classic? Mafia Holloway.
Boy, Jerry Fontenot has told me some stories about him fighting him. He was a tough fighter. Yeah.
He is, man. He is. His timing is just impeccable. I was like, wow, this guy is on another level.
Who are some of the toughest guys you fought as the lightweight?
Definitely Mafia Holloway. Eric O'Neill from Louisiana, Grandmaster Eric O'Neill.
Good guy.
Yeah, awesome guy. Pee Wee Blanco. Jose Pacheco.
Yeah, I'm Jose Pacheco.
Tough guy.
From Team Full Contact.
Yeah,
that's some good memories and good fighters. Yeah. So what was the last fight you fought? When did you retire and get involved with into the business that you're into now?
My last tournament fight, sport karate match, was at the Universal Martial Arts Hall of Fame weekend. And
well, you know, that's cool. What year was that? Because that's coming up here in next weekend, you know.
Yeah, it's coming up next weekend. So that was in
Barry Guerrero is a good guy. You know, he's go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, no, go ahead, please.
No, I'm just saying, so Barry Guerrero is, you know, I'm an alumni of that group, and that's a pretty cool group. Daryl Stewart, another one of my partners, those guys work really hard. And their event is actually the 16th, the 17th, and 18th coming up next weekend in Houston at the Marriott. And I'm actually going to be there doing a seminar and have a big display of the museum. So,
awesome.
Now you actually,
awesome.
That was your last fought you fought there, that last tournament?
Yeah, that was 2002, I believe it was.
Do you know Mike Fillmore and Aviv Rodriguez and all those people?
I'm familiar
they're,
with them.
They're
I
with the Universal.
Know them for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, they Mike Fillmore actually runs the tournament for Zaverio.
Does he?
So,
okay.
Yeah. Those guys are good guys. They work hard. And that's a good memory, too. So you got involved. Show business. What was your first step into getting involved with the movie in front of the camera?
I had a good friend out of Alabama, John Graham. I don't know if you know C.P. John Graham. Yeah.
No, I don't.
Got
no,
me
I,
a,
I knew. You, no.
No.
I didn't know him. No, sir.
Okay, you got to meet him. He's an awesome guy. Awesome guy. But he got me a extra part in the movie Watership Warrior. So he got me that extra part, and then I got little extra parts here and there and here and there. And I'm looking around at production and people with the camera and the directors, and I was like, eventually, that's what I want to do. Eventually, you know.
Sure.
At the time, I was in the Air Force, and when I left the Air Force and moved here to California, I gathered around some like-minded people. I had some great mentors. I had Grandmaster Jim Kelly, late Jim Kelly, God rest his soul.
Good guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Art. Yes. And Art Camacho.
Oh,
kind of mentored
Art Camacho,
me.
My buddy. Man, what a great guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Love Art.
A product of Eric Lee, Sifu Eric Lee. Absolutely.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, we got. You know, that's what people don't. You know. I've been lucky enough to be around in the country for quite a few, and we got a lot of the same friends. You know, the one thing I want to mention for the people who are listening, for old listeners or even the new ones, you remind me, Robert, of those guys, like my dear friends, James Liu, Jeff Amata, Hiro Kota,
mm-hmm.
John Valera, the guys
mm-hmm.
that were point, not point so much, but they were formed competitors and they were dominating the black belt divisions. And they stepped out into the front of the camera and behind the camera. Of course, I think
mm-hmm.
James is probably the highest stunt guy that's probably been around forever. Remind me of that because you come from that mole. And there's a lot of people that had that dream, and they didn't make it. They got pushed to the side, or they didn't really accomplish what they wanted to. But look what you've done. So. God bless you, man. That is so cool. You've accomplished what you've done.
Thank you. Thank you, man. Thank you. And, you know, I can't sit here and say I did this all by myself. I had a lot of help, a lot of assistance, a lot of guidance. You know, I'm just the culmination of everybody's efforts.
Well, that's the humble part of Karate Do that people don't understand. The first thing you learn to do is, sir, yes, sir, and no, sir, and may I. And then you learn to kick and punch, correct? I mean, I remember our relationship built up even deeper when you asked me to be on the cover of the Masters Hall of Fame. I got to ask you, did you go through some criticism for that, or was it an easy decision?
Of course
was it,
I did. It was an easy decision for me because I knew you, because you're my brother, you know? I mean, that was actually the third cover. You were on the third cover. Third cover.
I was wondering. Third
and,
cover. Okay.
Yeah, third cover.
Cool.
Don Wilson was the first. Spitfire Brown was the second. You were the third. And, I mean, it was an easy decision for me. Easy. I mean, who's got more history and more credentials
I'm still
than
honored.
You?
I still
you know?
I still got goosebumps thinking about it, you know. it was a very, very instrumental part of my life. Do you remember what year it was? I forgot.
Oh, gee whiz. 2006, maybe?
Wow. I was just fixing to retire.
Yeah.
I think that's why it meant so special to me, because I was fixing to retire and just give my full time to the museum. You know, let me ask you a question, and you got to jab slap me a little bit, and I don't mean that derogatory, just the terminology I use. When I started talking about the Sport Karate Museum and how it was different from, you know, doing something, you know, just concentrating only on sport karate, did you think I was a fanatic? I mean, did you think I was crazy?
No, I didn't think you were crazy, because we're all fanatics. When you're in sport karate, you live for the weekend. You live.
You know, I want to say it publicly.
I want
to say it openly and publicly, especially to someone that understands both levels. I respect so much what Michael Masuda has done with the Martial Art History Museum, because it understands the culture, and he touches a little bit about what we've done. But I concentrate only on sport karate.
On sport
and
karate.
There's always, yeah, exactly. And it's really hard through the years for people. They think it's the same thing, but it isn't. It's just the Sport Karate Museum is concentrating on the guys like Mr. Norris and Mr. LaBelle, you know, other people that established martial arts and sport karate in America as far as a sport. And that's all I concentrate on. And I know that you understand that. And I appreciate you allowing me to share that with your interview. You know, I want to unify the world. I'm not as deep as Mr. Ri was, as, you know, Master Ri, God rest in peace. But he had the idea with Trutopia, the vision of uniting the world. And see, to me, the internet is not going to go away. All the stories, all the video, all the movies, all the pictures that we've done for 20 years together, it's on the internet. It's 24/7. People can type in Robert Parnham, and they can go type in Professor Gary Lee or Sport Karate Museum, and all this stuff comes up. And
that's
educating. And that's what I love about the fact that now you're in front of hundreds and thousands of people, Robert, educating.
Right.
Sure, you're an actor. You're an actor. But it's martial arts flavored, correct?
That's right. It gives me a platform to spread that, you know?
Yes.
This is acting and movies, et cetera, and so forth. It's all about a platform. I mean, yeah, I get some personal joy from it. That's, you know, but it's about a platform where I can help spread martial arts values, et cetera, and so forth. You know, how to solve problems, even though it's, you know, it's, you know, in a way that's pretty surrealistic. But, I mean, I look at our action actors today, you know, Wesley Snipes, you know. I'm looking at our African-American action actors. You got Wesley Snipes.
Robert,
you got Michael
Jai White. Robert, do you remember the early interviews? You remember I was involved with something that before there was blocking. You know, I mean, you remember the first movie that I was involved in was Jackie Chan's first movie here in the States, with Cannonball Run, with Burt Reynolds and Dean Martin and Sammy Davis Jr. It was directed by Hal Needham, and I was just a runaround type, you know, gripper, do for all, everything. And I got to see so incredible stuff. But the thing about it is, the stunt work back then was hardcore. They were going to the hospital. The blocking wasn't there. Now, did you find a difference in doing movie today in 2018 and even in the early years when you did the early stunt work, the difference, the blocking, and explain that to the listeners, what blocking is. They think I'm talking about walking down a block.
They think you're talking about
blocking
actually doing
blocking the camera
work. It's setting up your scene for the camera. You know, so the camera's going to be at a certain angle, and you have to make sure that you're at a certain angle, doing a certain technique, or even in dialogue, you know. So blocking the scene or setting the scene for the camera.
Hey, you're creating an illusion for the audience. That's what you're doing. So there's not the contact involved. There's not the contact involved.
Exactly.
So the actor, because he's supposed to be precious, and that's why they have stunt doubles, right? Is that he's not even going to get close He's not even going to get even thought. He's going to get hit. You know? Hey, have you ever had an accident happen on the set? Something that that you didn't foresee, a Murphy's Law type thing that you had to take care of?
There's been a few, but let me tell you the last one. It's in the movie, and we didn't cut it out. I was in a
You didn't cut it
match.
Out?
We didn't cut it out. No, we kept it.
Okay.
So there's
cool.
a scene where I'm fighting Jason Sterling.
Okay.
Jason's a very competent martial artist. You know, won some championships, et cetera, and so forth. Well, he throws this uppercut with one hand. He was supposed to throw it with the other. And I was anticipating him hitting me with the other hand, but he switched hands. And he hit me for real, and I was buzzed a little bit. So we kept that because it just looked good. We kept that.
That's pretty cool. The last set of shows I did for Six Flags was the Police Academy stunt show, and I played a part called Snafu. You know what Snafu means in military terms, right? And so they created this character, and I was a happy-go-lucky samurai, but I was Snafu. And I had to do a scene where I had to climb up a ladder and pick up a knife and start to throw it. The guy sticks out the window, and he pulls out a gun, a 9-millimeter gun. They used real guns, but they were molded down. And he shoots you and shoots the knife out of my hand. Took the gun out of my hand,
right.
Fall, 30-foot fall of the trip. Well, on the day that they were supposed to film it for the commercial, the gripper or the guy that the gun goes through three people, right? And two of the guys weren't there. One was sick and one didn't show up. So they only went through one guy. And now let me finish. It's cool. And then there's a little piece of wood, I guess, or styrofoam, whatever it was. But enough, because you know these guns, even though they're bored out, they shoot air, right?
Yeah.
And the guy came out with a gun. He shot the gun, the little piece of whatever it was, went through the back of my ear. So normally I do the fall, or I drop the money, and the money falls out of my hand, and it's over. And we get out, we do our dinner, the show's over. Well, this time, instead of doing that, I grab the back of my neck, it's not in the script, and I do a little swirl, and then I do a fall where I don't break my fall. And I roll over another 4 feet and hit the bottom of the bottom stage. And everybody just goes along with the floor because they go ad-lib. These guys are professionals. And they ad-libbed it out, and then I didn't move. And obviously something was wrong. And there was no blood to the back of my head, and the piece had shot me in the back of my ear. And it could have killed me, but it knocked me out. It knocked me out, yeah.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Well, you take the chance when you want to act, you know. So, hey, listen, I'm going to take a little short break here and do my little segment. I'm going to bring you back. We're going to play the Legends Name Game, and I'm going to throw some names at you, and I want you to talk about them from your heart, and then just tell how they affected your life and how they're changing the industry, way or near. It's called the Legends Name Game, and it's a lot of fun. So stay tuned. Don't go anywhere, okay?
All right.
Okay. We're with Mr. Robert Parnham and having a great interview. It's just like sitting across the table having dinner with my old friend. and that's what I really enjoy about these interviews. They're not hardcore in your face and embarrassing. It's just kind of like good old guys talking, but also sharing what sport karate did and how it changed our lives and what we're doing it now and how it's changing other people's lives. Well, with that said, I'd like to bring on my friend for the past few weeks, going on a month now, Mr. Wolverine, Mr. Dean Piles. Are you there, sir?
Yes, sir.
Well, Wolverine, how are you tonight?
Doing good, sir.
Good. Is Karen get on the air? Did Karen get on the air yet? Karen Slatcher? Okay. Well, I wanted Karen to get on the air. I'm going to be talking to you while I try to give her a call, okay? Let's see if we can get her on the air here a minute. So anyway, Wolverine, tell me a little bit what's going on. How you doing today and what's happening in the Dean Piles Wolverine life?
Nothing much, man. Today, just, you know, got up, hit the beach, done some kayaking just to warm up, then come to the gym and hit the iron, and then worked katas, and then fought last defense, and then went to doing MMA.
Karen, is that you? Karen, was that you?
I don't know. I'm right on here.
Okay. That's okay. Is that Mark Shuey?
That's me.
Okay, Mark, hang on. I'm gonna come to you in a minute. I'm still trying to get Karen on here. We're cool. We're a live radio, so we're dealing with it. So it's cool.
No problem.
I'm just gonna call her but Mark, just stay patient. I'm gonna be with you in just a minute, buddy. Okay.
Sounds great. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, buddy. Hey, well, so Wolverine, our subject tonight is really interesting, and I hope Karen gets on the air. I just asked her to call in. My subject is a woman black belt different from a man black belt? Well, I got two opinions here, okay? And the first opinion is going to be the opinion that probably people don't like. And that opinion is, yes, they're feminine, they're small, they don't have the power, they think it's kickboxing. They don't understand the karate do is different. It's an art. You can't really teach a girl martial arts I know there's boxers. I know there's women fighters in boxing, but karate is a different thing. That's the part that some of the guys say. How do you feel about what that will work?
Oh, no. I mean, I feel like that, yeah, you can teach a girl martial arts. They just got to have the right teacher. And women, the thing about women is they can tolerate more pain than men can. That's the thing. They're not near as whiny as most of these chucklehead guys out here. And, hey, half of the guys that come through the door now are more feminine than the girls that come through the door. So, you know, the women, the thing about women is when you teach them a technique, they use the technique the way you taught it to them. Guys tend to think they already know how to fight, so a lot of times they change things up a little bit, and then they take away from what you tried to show them, you know. So I have all daughters, and all my daughters have world titles, and they all grew up fighting guys. So, you know how I think about, you know, girls, guys. Girls can hold their own against guys. If trained properly, no problem.
You're being awful nice here. I mean, come on. I mean, you're not even raising your voice, and I know that I haven't fired you up yet or not, but let me just tell you something. Girls cannot fight. Now, women, when a girl goes into a woman, I hear someone laughing. Is that Karen?
Yes.
She finally made it. Okay, listen to me. I'm going to talk to both of you guys in a minute. Women, when they turn into women, I guess they can start hitting a little bit harder than normal. But then again, I got to think about when the girls were 14 and 13 and 15 years old in the 60s and 70s, and those women, I got to bite my tongue a little bit because those women.
Go ahead.
Kathleen Kapuskin and Sharon Wong and Mikey Roe Moore. I mean, Mikey Ramore is still fighting at 75 years old, okay? So I got to bite my tongue here, I guess, a little bit.
Hey, and you know,
Karen?
She'll hit somebody.
Oh, yeah. Well, she did hit somebody. Karen, how do you feel about it? You think women can fight?
Of course I know women can fight. I fought them. They hurt. The women now are
Can they hit as hard as can they hit as hard as a 280-pound man who's going to grab you up and just what?
Professor, hang on just a second. Fight science that was on TV or whatever they called
it. You believe
it
was on TV?
No, listen. They took one of the guys from the UFC, 220 pounds, throwing his punch. Versus that little female boxer throwing her punch into a meter, and the girl hit harder than he did.
Because she comes live, and he's eating dinner at the cafeteria down the street.
Women are at least the size of Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee ain't very big at all. So most women are at least the size of him. If they rotate their hip, they can generate the same amount of power if they lock in their technique the same as a guy does. They just got to rotate that hip,
Wolverine,
keep everything locked.
Wolverine, be quiet. Wolverine, be quiet. Karen.
Yes.
Karen.
Yes.
Put me in my place.
Oh.
Listen to me. Listen to me for a minute. I'm a guy that plays football. I hit people all through high school. Listen to me. I'm in college now. I'm playing football. I'm 260 pounds. Listen to me. I'm pumping muscle, and then I go to a karate school. And this instructor, who's smaller than me, puts me in front of a woman to spar. You're telling me that woman's going to be able to take care of me?
You're asking me now, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm talking to you.
I would say,
please.
Okay, I would say that it would depend, of course, on the girl. Any girl, maybe not. Because, yes, they're going to be stronger. They're going to have a lot more power in their arms. But women have always been the ones in the dojo. There was one woman or one girl and 15 kids, 15 guys. So we got hit just as hard, and we had to learn to hit hard back. We had to be technicians. Like the Wolverine said, we had to learn the hips. We had to learn the torque. And we also were faster. We could get out of the way and stick and run a lot faster than your football player lughead that's across from us.
Well, in the beginning
hey,
of the segment.
Tell her the story about when you sparred the girl, the pretty little Chinese girl.
Well,
yeah, I heard
what,
all about that.
Okay, what I want to say is this, guys. And listen, guys, and this is for the listeners who understand. We're show business, guys. Listen to me explain something to you. Okay, in the beginning, I wanted to do the negative part so you guys could understand that there's people out there that really believe that what I just said. And they really believe
right.
that because of size and because of what society has given to the public, that would make a difference. Well, I got news for you. The other side of what I want to talk about is Yang. But that was Yin. This is Yang. And Yang is very simple, Karen and Wolverine. It doesn't matter if you're a child or if you're a woman, a man, a midget, what culture. It doesn't matter what you are. It doesn't matter. As long as the instructor has karate do, and he can be able to pass on that knowledge and technique. I love you, Karen Slatcher. You said the magic word. And the word is technique, technical. If the master instructor, and that I'm not talking about grandmaster, I'm talking about the master instructor that's passing on the knowledge, doesn't have good technical karate do, he's not going to be able to pass on technique. And if he doesn't have technique, then you're going to have a man or a woman who can't do what they do in martial arts. But if you pass on that technique, it doesn't matter if you're a child or a woman or a little girl. And a lot of women who are coming through the power of women this year, Karen, they're those little girls that believed in themselves and believed that PMA was the master of their attitude. And you're one of them, Karen. You know, I just want you to know how much I appreciate your history and your fighting history, especially your karate goju history, and all the incredible stuff. Let me do a plug that you've given me from Peter Urban, who's the founder of Nishi Goju. I mean, I've got the suitcase and the incredible scripts and so, Karen, all said and done, I respect every one of the women that are becoming to the event that we're doing, but all the women around the country that stepped up. And let me say this, Wolverine, okay? And then I'm going to let you say your part. Back in the day, the women didn't have to just fight each other, Karen, right? You guys had
That's
to fight
right.
women that wore You guys had to fight women that wore white belts that were really black belts in judo, because the instructors didn't want them to wear a black belt in judo, or they couldn't wear a black belt. They'd wear a white
That's
belt
right.
in a karate tournament. And then you had to fight men, too. Some producers didn't even have divisions, so they threw you into a men's division. Remember Marion Bumerness? Absolutely. And then I'm going to say it, some of the producers, except for a few, I mean, Mr. Esteem, Mr. Parker, and some incredible people, I guess just a lot of people, they stood up for you guys, but some of them just didn't want you there. you know. So you had to fight the prejudice too. So God bless
yes,
you, Karen
true.
Fletcher, and all the women.
Well, thank you.
All the women that have stepped up for all of us, that we could be who we are if it wasn't for the women. Wolverine, what you got to say about that?
Hey, you know, I totally agree. That's what I was saying before. It's all in the technique. You know, that's one thing Bruce Lee was big on, technique. So, you know, you got the technique. You're going to generate the power. Speed plus mass equals power. And if she executes the technique right, you're going down regardless, you know.
Self-reminder.
Well, let me ask you a question. Have you, you know, have you ever faced a woman before, Mr. Piles, or Wolverine, and you had to fight them in a black belt test?
Yeah, I mean, especially on black belt tests. I mean, we have women go up, and I've sparred with women, you know.
What's your level of thinking when you spar that woman? I'm talking to you as a student now, okay? What do you think when you spar that woman? And she's going for black belt now. She's not going for underbelt. She's going from brown to shodan to black belt.
No, and on our exam, when our girls go up to fight, we make sure they fight. We don't give them a black belt if they can't fight. And so they fight guys, and they go at it. So, I mean, and hey, well, I've had
I'm asking your mentality, Wolverine. I'm putting
oh,
you
my
on
mentality?
The spot.
I mean, I'm going to get
yes.
– hey, look, if they're going up for their black belt exam and it's a black belt exam, now I'm not just going to hit a woman on the street or you know, in a relationship. But if they're going up for a black belt exam and we're sparring on the black belt exam, then I'm going to give it to her just the way it's supposed to be for her exam, you know. Because the last
good
thing
answer,
I want to do
good
is
answer.
Promote
thank
somebody.
Thank you for being – hey, thank you for being in the corner and let me put some pressure on you. Karen, how do you feel about that if you had to fight a young man for a black belt? Like, for instance,
oh,
like when you were at Mississippi that time, okay?
I always did. I always had to fight the men. And it was in the black belt test, I was usually, again, the only female testing. So everybody
really?
There fought me,
cool.
And no one ever really held back on me. They wanted to – well, some didn't want me going for black belt because that wasn't a place for women to be, and so they wanted to make me cry or something. And then others wanted to just make sure they looked good, and they thought that by fighting me that, you know, they could get away with being really fast. So I would have to put an end to all of that right away. And then they hurt. They beat us pretty hard because of all of that. There
was
a lot going on.
Old school, you know, what was it fighting? Okay, because I love asking this question to the women I get on the show. So, you know, I've interviewed you quite a few times, but I would ask you again. What was it like fighting bare knuckle man to man like that? You know, barefoot, bare knuckle. I mean, what was your mentality? I mean,
oh, it was. That's what we were there to do. Just come on, bring it. I wasn't afraid of him, so why should he be afraid of me? I mean, it was fine. I knew what to watch for. I knew that if it came down to it, they would rather draw blood on me and be disqualified than have me beat them. You know, that happened a lot. Because
well, I got a magic question for both of you. I got a magic question for both of you, and I'm so glad I'm not screaming and hollering anymore and being negative because I don't like being negative. but I got a magic question for you, for both of you, and I'm going to ask Ms. Slatcher first. You've seen the women fight in the 70s, okay, and you've seen that,
yes.
that era, and I'm sure you've been to some tournaments recently. What is the main difference you see in the women fighting in that time period, in that frame period?
What the difference I see is that the women are training right there with the specialty men, the men that are there like on team fights and stuff. When they get the teams together and they work extra hard on these teams, they teach them more about combat. I see the women are in that mode too. They're fighting exactly the same way as the men are now, the same techniques, whereas before it was a little bit wilder. And you're pretty much on your own. They didn't take a lot of time to train us in the sweet science.
Okay. Okay. Wolverine, your opinion.
Yeah, I mean, the women are definitely using the same techniques as the men do. I mean, you look at Regina Thompson and Alex Piles. I mean, those girls and Gina Thornton, I mean, those girls, they go at it just like the guys do.
Amen. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
but by the way, speaking of Alex, Alex Files is your daughter, correct?
Yes, sir.
And she's fighting at the Jim Harrison's American Challenge. Yeah, I'm excited about that, to watch her fight for the Showtime that night. That's going to be a lot of fun. You know, and you're going to be going for a title for Cotta Wars, correct?
Yes, sir.
Now, you lost by 1/10 of a point last year.
I didn't lose last year.
1/10 of a point. Well, you know what? You didn't lose. You didn't lose, because I'll tell you what.
It was all over.
I get you fired up. But, you know, the bottom line is, it's amazing to watch you perform. For the listeners who don't know who Mr. Dean Piles is, first of all, he is my student. And I know we go at it pretty hard, but, you know, he is my student, and I love him to death. But, you know, he does something incredible. He does a traditional weapons kata with a creative bow form, and he puts it together. You know, you don't see that often. Now, you see people do two swords and two kamas and two tampas, but the dexterity of two different weapons like that, and then to win consistently first places throughout the country in the largest karate tournament circuit in the, well, sport karate tournament in the world, NASCA, it's pretty impressive. So that's enough bragging about you for the next 5 years. You understand? No more bragging about the Wolverine.
Can I say something?
Done.
Can I say something?
Ma'am.
I traveled to Houston last year from New Jersey, and I will say that I saw Master Piles do his form, and it was intense. It was amazing. So you can brag on him. It's okay. He can hold up to it.
I get surprised from this year. I'm going to be throwing thumbtacks down right before he does his form. So, you know, he's going to have to go through the pain of performing and also performing. So I got news for him. I got all kinds of surprises for my students. Trust me. So anyway, thank you guys for your opinion tonight, and I hope my listeners listen to the end to understand that I'm not negative at all. That was just an acting tool that the Wolverine and I came up with. And you know what? I want to thank you so much, Karen, for putting your so-called 2 cents in. It means so much to me that you're my friend, and you're going to be
anytime
at the Power of Women this year doing a
yes.
You're actually one of the speakers and also talking about Qigong and Tai Chi, correct?
Yes, I am.
I'm so excited.
And I can't wait.
And the Power of Women.
I can't wait.
Women's Symposium, September the 28th. And that's going to be a lot of fun. For more information on that, you can contact Shehan Darlene McPherson, Pagels. That's right, at 281-221-2145. Or give me a call at 713-483-0476. Hey, Karen, thank you for being on tonight. Wolverine.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry we had such trouble. I couldn't get through. So I'm glad
well,
that I
you
finally
know,
did.
It's a live radio show, but we're on the air, and we're in the archives. We'll be there forever. Goodness gracious. What
That's
do you think
right.
That?
I think cool. It's great, cool. And I can't wait to see you all next month.
Yes, ma'am. I can't wait either. Aloha. See you.
Aloha.
Hey,
bye-bye now.
Wolverine,
yep,
you got
sir.
Any last thing you want to say?
Oh, no, nothing except for I'm excited to be at Cotta Wars. I'm glad to be your student and glad to be a part of the show.
Well, you are part of all three, so goodness gracious, you got the prize and you won tic tac toe all in one, man. You're one of those amazing black belts, aren't you? You know, I like the new word that we invented together, and I want to make it official. And I got the approval from one of my friends, Mr. Jim Buten, and I got his approval. And that new word that we created is called chucklehead. And
yeah.
So
man, that's watching
for that on social media. Be watching that on social media, and you know about the word chucklehead. Really interesting stuff. So Wolverine, I'll see you next week. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay, aloha, buddy. Bye bye. Hey, everybody,
aloha.
That was the Wolverine and the only one, Karen Slatcher, who will both be at the Cotta Wars in less than a month and a half, September the 28th and 29th. And by the way, just to let you know, that is probably one of the most fun events that's around in the country right now. And this is going to be the Power of Women. Imagine 100 women black belt women, white belts too, and under belts, all together in one room, all being part of sport karate. Now, I'm not talking about just any women. I'm talking about women from the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and 2000. I'm talking about professional women who are architects, engineers. I've got retired FBI agents coming. Oh, I'm so excited. I've got real hardcore karate women champions from those years that will be there. And then I've got the amazing, magnificent mothers of the martial arts, the women that we've never really said thank you to. And you know what's the magic about this event? It's all around one particular woman. Her name is Mikey Rowe Moore. That's right, Mikey Rowe Moore. Well, for you people who don't know who she is, she was one of the first five women to be rated in sport karate. She is 75 years old, and last month she took third place in an open karate tournament. I'm not making that up, listeners. I'm not making that up. 75 years old, I took third place. She's traveled around the country for the Sport Karate Museum, from Las Vegas to North Carolina to Cleveland, Ohio, to New Jersey. I mean, she bounces around with her incredible husband, Dana. The roast this year, Living Legends 26, is a celebrity roast of Mikey Rowe Moore with John the Timidad, the Giant Killer, the one and only, the Lion Man, Ja. You ready for this? Jerry Pennington. That's right. I've got incredible people, Silver Star earner Mr. Steve Gibson, and special guest Karen Herdman, and the one and only Bigfoot, Daryl Stewart, and that end out the array of people, Goldie Mac. That's right, Goldie Mac from the Kempo Legacies. It's going to be so much fun for Mikey Rowe Moore to understand that she is one of the reasons why the women in that room were there that evening. The Power of Women, September the 28th and 29th. For more information, please go to Facebook or call me directly at 713-483-0476. And don't forget, for the new book, Pioneers, Masters of the Martial Arts, which is produced by Mr. Jesse Bowen, which was released on August 3rd, please contact Mr. Jesse Bowen on Facebook anytime. He'd love to hear from you. Thank you. Aloha. Hey, everybody, is Mr. Robert Parnam on the line?
I'm still here.
Well, goodness gracious, I do still talk a lot, don't I, Robert?
That's what makes
I made you laugh.
Professor.
That's good.
Oh, man.
Anytime you make a movie director laugh, I think I'm good. You know, good thing I'm a member of SAG, right? Hey, let me play the Legends name game. Let me explain it to the listeners. This is where I hit you with a name. You got 2 minutes or less to talk about that person, because I'm going to hit you with a few names and just just talk about how that person has influenced you. You know, positive or negative. This movie. You know, basically. This show is called Parts Unknown for a reason. I get to ask all the real cool questions. Now, we didn't really rehearse this, and I want you to know that I'm ready for anything. Ready? Art Camacho.
Okay. Art Camacho, amazing, talented individual. I love him like a brother, my mentor, and I would do anything for Art.
Well, tell me about what he does and who he is for the people who don't know who he is.
Let me tell you about Art Camacho. So we all know he's this great director. Art actually helped me. He came down as a guest director on one of the films I was making, Bullets, Blades, and Blood. He came down and he did his thing, and it was great working with him. I learned so much from him. We did this yacht scene where I get to kill this guy on a yacht, and it turned out to be awesome. It won actually a couple awards in a film festival. Just that scene alone. Because of Art.
Wow.
So,
you know,
yeah,
he is a gifted director, but he's also a strong martial artist. And the most important thing, he's a sweet, sweet, sweet man. I mean, one of the nicest guys
awesome,
I've ever
dude.
Met. You know, in all the
ever.
Years, he's never changed. He reminds me of Chuck Norris a lot because Chuck's never changed. And then, you know, 50 years I've known him. Art, I haven't known him that long, but, man, he's been the same way. I met him when I was a young person. Okay, tell me about Eric Lee.
Eric Lee, another amazing individual. So Eric and I are official members of the Ballhead Man's Martial Arts Club. So that's a club that we kind of started at Art Camacho's Roast that they had last year. So he's amazing, man. He makes me laugh all the time. He tells these jokes.
You know what's really funny? This is a true story. I never really said it publicly before, but I'll share it with you. Eric calls me up. You know, I roasted him in 2002, I believe, right? 2006. Yeah. And he calls me up right before, I mean, which was first? Was it Cynthia's or Eric's first? Which one was it?
I think Eric's was first.
Which was first? Okay.
I think Eric's
was first. Eric was first. Eric was my production. I'm talking about Cynthia
right.
or Art. Which was first? It was Cynthia's first, right?
Cynthia's was first.
Okay, good. He calls me up and he says, "Golly." No, he didn't say Gary. He says, "Golly." he says, "May I have permission to roast a city?" And he did the same thing for Art. And I said, "Eric, why are you calling me up? I mean, of course. I mean, come on, man. That is so cool. I mean, to be able to roast those people." And you know, I was just really excited about it. So I gave him the list and, you know, helped him as much as I could. And the thing about it is, Eric is so humble, so sweet.
Yes.
And
yes,
he gave me his white uniform G-top, you know, his Kung Fu satin white G-top that I have in the Sport Card Museum, and this incredible stuff. You know, he's so giving, and he's part of everybody. You know, he is the reason why we have Creative Kata in America. He is the little king of Kata. He is the real deal. If it wasn't for him and Sid Campbell, rest in peace, my instructor, we wouldn't have creative forms like it is. God, I still get goosebumps watching Eric run around the room and doing his ego and all his incredible stuff. And not just talk about his movie stuff that he did, like Little Big Trouble in Little China and all the movies that he does. So let me hit you with another gentleman. Robert Diehl. I know he's a big part of your life too, right?
Yeah, Robert Diehl. You know, we realized that in all the years that we've known each other, about 10, 15 years, we've never taken a picture together. Ever. So we took one. They did an event at Michael Masuda's Martial Arts Museum, and they honored me that day. And me and Robert were like, "Wow, we never took a picture together." So we made sure
that we took a picture together. Yeah, that's good.
Yes.
They documented that, and that's pretty cool. You know, you've been around a lot of amazing people. I mentioned him earlier. Do you know James Liu very well?
I don't know him very well, but I know him. You know, we always exchange pleasantries. James is good friends with a good friend of mine, Conan Lee.
Yes.
I'll probably see James at Dragon Fest this year in 2 weeks.
Yes, that's coming up on the 25th, correct?
Right.
Yeah, that's one of the largest gatherings of industry in the movies and martial arts that's put together by the Martial Art History Museum. And that's in Burbank, or is it in Los Angeles?
It will be in Burbank, yes. I'll have a booth there. I'll be sharing my booth, with Fred Williamson.
Oh, wow. How about Al Long? Are you friends with Al?
Once again, I exchange pleasantries with him. I really don't know him that well.
Okay.
A lot of the martial artists that live in L.A., because I live so far away, I don't connect with a lot of them. I don't have the opportunity to connect with a lot of them. I see a lot of them in
passing. You live in California, or where do you live?
I live in California, but I live in the Bay Area. I live up north.
Oh, the Bay Area. Okay. Let me hit you with how about Satch Williams? Did you ever know Satch?
Oh, yeah, I know Satch.
Cool.
Yeah, I know Satch.
You know, we're honoring Satch this year.
Satch.
Tammy Whalen is coming in to the Living Legends, and also Austin, Satch's son, is coming, and we're giving the Satch Williams Memorial Dragon Image Fighting Award.
And when is this?
Tammy, Oh, this is September 28th, The Power of Women, my event I talked about. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds like
Tammy,
something I would love to
You know Tammy Whalen? You know Tammy?
No, I don't know Tammy.
Okay.
I don't know Tammy.
Yeah, Tammy was very close to Satch. But did you know Satch very well?
I knew Satch. We actually, our teams competed against each other on several occasions.
Bay Area Best. The Bay Area Best, right?
Yeah.
I know
actually,
my memory, man.
Yeah.
I know my memory.
Yeah. I know Satch.
So were you friends with the Dobidashi and those guys?
No. By the time I got here, I pretty much finished competing. I wasn't competing anymore.
Okay.
It was straight, you know, movie stuff. So a lot of the competitors that I'm familiar with, I don't really know anybody on the circuit now. I'm familiar with some names, Raymond Daniels. That's the only name that I'm really familiar with now. You know,
did you ever
back
fight
in
his
the
dad?
Day,
I fought his dad five times. Frank Daniel, did you know his dad? Yeah.
I knew his dad, yeah, but I never competed against him. Never competed.
It was tough. That's where, you know, Raymond changed the industry. He really did. You know,
uh-huh.
He really put Kemp on the
he
map,
did.
You know.
He did.
He put Kemp on the
he
map
did.
Without a doubt. Yeah.
He did.
So the neat thing about working in the industry, you get to meet a lot of the stunt guys. Now, I'm going to shoot some names at you, and if you don't know them, just tell me. But if you do, tell me if you know them. Ron Shurls.
Okay.
Stephen Ho.
No.
Jeff
Amata. I've met Stephen. I've met Jeff.
You met Stephen? He was an original, you know, Ninja Turtle. Do you know
Ninja
Mr.
Turtle,
Johnson?
Yes.
Do you know Mr. Johnson?
I met Pat Jackson.
Yeah.
Pat Johnson, you mean.
Him and Sue are my dearest friends. He's been with me from the very beginning, you know, from the very start, back when it was Mike Stone and Pat Johnson and Alan Steen and Sid Campbell and Ken Knutson and, you know, it's Howard Jackson and Ted Tabura. I mean,
uh-huh.
It's just the names that you, man. Some of those guys are gone now, but, you know, Mike Stone, it was an incredible time putting it together, you know. People don't understand, you know. They don't understand. But that's okay. We do. That's all that matters.
We do.
That's the next question I want to ask you. You're part of the Sport Karate Museum, and you're part of that lineage. How do you feel how important it is that sport karate is remembered just because it's only 60 years old? You know, it's not hundreds of years old. It's only been around since 1946. How do you feel it's important that the Sport Karate Museum documents the radio show and the pictures, the video, and all the different things?
Well, you got to have it so that we can talk about it, so that people after us can talk about it in 100 years. So when it's 100 years old, we have this to fall back on.
But nobody cares. So how do you make them care? How do you make them realize it's more than just a tournament, more than just television, more than just, you know, they compare it even to USC now, which is really crazy.
You know, I'm
going to,
you know, Professor, you and I don't disagree on a lot of things, but I'm going to disagree on that statement. I think people do care, but I just don't think that they're aware. A lot of people aren't aware. So
we have to educate.
It's something.
We have to educate.
Yeah, we have to educate. We have to market, and we have to educate. And then they'll be aware. Then everybody will be like, oh, wow.
I got to share something with you.
I
want to share something with you that I'm going to break the news officially in September, but I want to share it with you right now because I want you to be a part of this somehow or another. I don't care how. But once I tell you about it, I think you'll be excited. You know, our business is 99.9% internet, and it's not going to go away. And so I have a friend of mine that's involved with real estate, and he sent me a thing called portals where you walk into the room or the house, and you see all the house. And
yes,
you can see the basement, everything. And he asked me how I could use that. And I thought about it, and I put things together and called different people. And so imagine a huge virtual building. You walk in, and you basically be able to go into each mat, and Matt would be Mike Stone, Alan Steen, I mean, Daniel Heck. I mean, I can go on, man. J. Pat Burleson, Mr. Norris, you know, and you'd be able to walk, Robert Parham, be able to walk into that mat and say your name, and you'll walk through that portal, and it'll be your history from point A to point B. Now, mm-hmm. that's really exciting to the person who's involved with sport karate and everything, but basically between me and you, reality, no one cares. No one really cares. So how do you make them care? Well, you create a video game around it. And what you do is you create a Bill Wallace Avenue, a Chuck Norris Boulevard, a J. Pat Burleson cul-de-sac, a Joe Louis block, and basically you're an avatar and you literally have to go through everything and you have to pick up clues and basically you go to a gate and guess what the gate is? It's the way to the portal.
What's the gate? The way to the portal.
Well, the gate is the portals that you walk in and you get to read and learn about everybody. And, of course, you have to go through waterfalls and you have to go through all kinds of clues and maybe you don't get everything enough. It turns into a video game. Well, that's all good and dandy, but it takes money. Well, you create mm-hmm. stores inside the village. And, you know, the idea is so incredible because I got on the phone and I called up 10 people and 8 out of the 10 people jumped on it. They want to create mm-hmm. stores in this village. Now, mm-hmm. you got to get the engine. Well, I called various people who created video games already, and I've got 6 to 7 people right now looking at it very deeply. And once an engine is chosen, whether it be like a Quake or a Doom or, you know, whatever engine where you get free-for-all and you get to go through everything, it's going to come to reality, and it's the next level to be able to educate, because what you're doing is 3 things. 1, you're educating, the number one thing. 2,
right.
you're passing on the knowledge and sharing and keeping your word to honor the pioneers and masters. And 3, you're teaching the new generation that didn't care to care because it's a video game. So
right.
what do you think about that idea?
I love it. I love it. I absolutely love it, you know, because the demographic that you're looking at are going to be the next wave of people as they continue in martial arts to be, you know, big names in sport,
know,
karate, et cetera, and so forth.
Radio is old school, but it works. And we've proven that for mm-hmm. 2 years. Hachi Jesse Bowen has, mm-hmm. I have. Video is always going to be there. YouTube, all the crazy stuff that's going on, it's going to be there. But the internet, remember years back when Metrodome and the guys got me involved with Black Belt TV and I created Martial Arts Exclusive and, you know, you go to YouTube and type in Black Belt TV / Gary Lee and all this stuff comes up.
Mm-hmm.
I remember going around telling people, Robert, WWW was the future. And they all thought I was
mm-hmm.
crazy. They
mm-hmm.
really thought I was crazy. And now everybody has a website. Everybody understands what WWW is. They don't even use it anymore. It's obsolete. But
right.
it created it. You know, it's kind of like Pong
right.
created Quake. And Quake created what, you know, I mean, I'm talking about video games, but still.
Right.
The idea of education, bringing the people together and working together, you know, bringing people together, unity.
Right.
I really appreciate you taking time tonight with me and sharing with me and sharing with me your vision. So with that said, I'd like to know more about what's going on in the future of Robert Putnam. What's going on in the future?
Well, after we right now we're going to enjoy the release of Jackson Bolt. We're having our release party Saturday in Vallejo, California, and Fred Williamson will be there. The legendary Gloria Hendry will be there, if you remember her from the 007 Live and Let, James Bond movie, Live and Let Die.
Right.
And after that, we have a movie that we're doing now called Soul Cage. It's the female, it's kind of like a female version of Rocky, but it's mixed martial arts. And then we'll move on to finish Bullets, Blades, and Blood, and then we move on to Jackson Bolt Part 2. And then I have, man, I've got like 10 scripts up here. I have Yasuke, I've got Snow Black, and this list just goes on. So I'm going to be busy for the next 2 or 3 years in this industry doing films.
Do you know Dana Abbott?
Yes.
You know, Dana Abbott and I, we go back 30 years. We're very, very close. I approached him actually 2 years ago, and I said that I'd be interested in my book, Memoirs of American Samurai, to be turned into a screenplay. And he said, well, we need to create a character first. And he took it from scratch, and he created this incredible character and basically wrote the beginning part of the screenplay for the book, Memoirs of American Samurai. I would be honored if you allowed me to send it to you.
Certainly. Please do.
Would you give me, I'll give you my email right now, and if you email me, I'll send it to you immediately. It's
Professor Gary Lee at gmail.com. Got you.
Yes, sir. And I'll email it back to you in direct word by word that Dana wrote. And I'm not even going to talk. I've talked about it before on the show, and I've gotten so many phone calls and reviews on it. People are really fascinated by it. If you remember Memoirs of American Samurai, every story opens up with the virtue of a samurai and the code and a different code.
Mm-hmm.
And the samurai relates directly to the story. And Dana has turned that into a incredible adventure that I think is going to blow your mind away. Now, if you don't like it, I understand. But if you do, or if you want to pass it on, you have my permission to pass it on to anybody. Okay? But I'll be honored for you to look at it. I haven't even showed it to Art yet, you know. but it's really, really cool because it came from Dana Abbott. So
right.
If you know Dana and his authenticity and his love of the art, he created something really special. So thank you.
Okay.
And make sure you email, because I don't want you, unless you want to give me your email, you can.
I'm emailing you right now as we speak.
Okay, cool. Cool. Well, any last words? If someone wants private lessons or get in touch with Robert Parnham, can you give me how would they get in contact with you? Facebook,
the easiest way to
whatever
get
you want to do.
Contact with me is Facebook, Robert.Parnham. I'm on Twitter at Kickboxing5, KickBxn5, which is also my handle on Instagram. So easy to reach out to. And I always answer messages. So
I appreciate your patience and coming here tonight, which is not scheduled, but doing it. But we're on the air, and we also did the show, and I think it was a great show. Robert, I want to say this on a personal basis. I appreciate you so much, your history, and what you've done for the industry. And
Thank you so much.
We have a saying I've had for 20 years, to protect the history, one warrior at a time. And
that's right.
Yes, sir. And you know, I have a new saying now that Mike Stone endorsed, and we're all Asian influenced, but sport karate was born in America.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about that for a moment. We're fixing to go into the 2020 Olympics with Karate Do. We've been there with Taekwondo and the Trembling Shock, and that's had its life. And Dana He and Ari Nunez and Herb Perez, God bless them. Karate Do, Robert. Now there'll be reverse punches and sweeps and takedowns and stops, and there'll be kata. Oh, I get excited. The first gold medalist in kata. I see him on the Wheaties box. I see him being endorsed by everybody in the world that wants to endorse the first gold medalist in kata. Now, I know it's going to change everybody's attitude toward Karate Do, and they're going to see real Karate Do, real fighting. I'm excited.
Right.
So all God right. bless you. God bless you. And thank you for this interview tonight. And I'll be looking forward to talking to you real soon. Okay, sir?
All right. Take care, Professor.
God bless you. Aloha. Hey, everybody. Thank you for another evening. It's been Wednesday evening, and we'll be back next Tuesday night and with our special guests and our interviews and our news. And thank you again, Robert Barham, for your time, and the Wolverine for his opinions, and Ms. Karen Slatcher. And I had a special guest tonight. I'm going to bring him on next week, Mr. Mark Shuey from Kane Masters. He'll be on next week. We'll be talking about his industry and what he's doing. And he'll be a special guest at the Living Legends in September 28th through the 29th. I just got a message. Make it official. Ted Gammardella will have his prints and his posters and a booth at the Living Legends 26 this year. Ted, Dr. Ted Gammardella. That's exciting. Well, we'll see you next week. And as I always say to all and everyone, mahalo and aloha.